finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.
From pink ball, we are back to the white ball. From test cricket, we are back to the shortest format of the game. India's next test series will be against New Zealand in February, and in between, they will only be playing ODIs and T20s. But out of those two formats, we know which is the most important one. Of course, the shortest one. So we will be talking about T20 cricket again as India's 2020 World Cup preparations take center stage once again. In 2019, they've played 13 matches, winning 7 and losing 6. And as India prepares to take on West Indies in their final T20 engagement of the year, we take stock of where the Indian T20 preparation stands in sight of the World Cup in Australia next year. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Hotspot, where we continue our latest format, The Hot Take, with me, Chetan Narula, and Deep Das Gupta, my co-host. As I said, we will be focusing spotlight on India's T20 World Cup preparations. And here, I would like to welcome Deep onto the show. Deep, how prepared are India as they look on to take perhaps one of the most solid T20 sides in world cricket at the moment?
Hey, thanks, Chetan, and trust you are doing well and all our listeners. Well, as far as West Indies go, they are very, you know how they are. They're very temperamental, right? So it's very difficult to figure out about them and their side. But having said that, T20 is a format that they're very, very comfortable. They're extremely comfortable. The next generation is very comfortable. They've been grown up watching a lot of T20. They've grown up idolizing a lot of T20 players. So I think even if there is, I mean, there are quite a few new names there. I still believe they're one of the top sides. There are quite a few names missing as well, especially, I mean, you're looking at Andre Russell, these guys. So the big hitters there. But I still believe that they are one of the top sides in the shortest format. And you know what? I mean, this is the first time after a very long time, they actually have a leg spinner who's done all right. Walsh Jr. is a leggy. He's basically from the US, and he's there in part of the squad. He's had a good CPL. So that's so you know what? If you go back, and I don't know you'll agree with me or not, but the last World Cup that they won, T20, it was on the back of their batsmen, especially the power hitters, right? But now, if you see, they also have a decent enough bowling unit. Walsh Jr., the leg spinner coming in. I'm sure someone like Sunil Narayan would be available for the World Cup under Russell. But apart from that, you know, O'Shane Thomas, Jason Holder, they are a very, very decent bowling unit. And that's where I think, if you look at the bigger picture, when everyone is available, I think they are a very, very good T20 side.
Immediately after the World Cup, India and West Indies had played in a T20 series. India won that series 3-0. It was in the Caribbean. But it was a bit of a reset button for both sides, different players. West Indies perhaps continuing from where they had left in the World Cup or pre the World Cup in their T20 format. Because I remember speaking with Sir Vivian Richards during that tour. And he said that, you know, Carlos Brathwaite perhaps doesn't cut it as the T20 captain. Not as the T20 captain, as the wide ball captain. And since then, we have seen changes being rung in by the West Indies Cricket Board. They've settled their differences with Kieran Pollard. And he is now both the ODI and the T20 captain. And we saw the Afghanistan series. West Indies were playing in Lucknow. And the West Indies are looking a little more comfortable in their own skin in this format. So they're again deep starting to look like a side which enjoys playing this format.
Yes, and you mentioned a very important point, and this is also what I believe, that once they announced someone like Kieran Pollard, who was for the longest time treated as a pariah as far as West Indies international cricket was concerned, as soon as you make him the captain of white ball cricket, you're sending a message out there saying that, you know, there are no more pariahs. There's this reconciliation that is happening. We are there to understand the player. So, you know, for the last 7, 8, 10 years, I mean, there was this, Cold War between the players and the association. It seems to me they've turned a corner here and they are working things together here. And this announcement of Kieran Pollard, the captain, I think is part of that reconciliation process. And listen, as far as him as a captain is concerned, he's one of the most experienced T20 player in the world. He travels all around the world playing T20 tournaments. And also the fact that this coming together, as you mentioned, I mean, they're more comfortable. It seems to me there are no issues in terms of selection and who's available, who's not. Because I've been speaking to a lot of people over the last 2, 3 years, you know, people who are involved with West Indies cricket. And they don't really put the whole blame on the players, making themselves unavailable for tournaments. So they've always been saying, you know, that the association or the board and the players need to sit together and sort this out. I think they're doing it, and it is good not just for West Indies cricket, but it's good for international cricket too.
Let's take a look in terms of the squad that has come here to India. It's been here for a while. The squad that, you know, they played against Afghanistan, they lost the T20 series. They won the ODI series. But like I said, they're starting to look very comfortable in this white ball skin. As Deep mentioned that, you know, it's the reconciliation factor here as well. Deep, you're looking at the squad. You have Shumrun Hetmayer, Evan Lewis, Lendl Simmons. These are batsmen, top order batsmen who have experience of Indian conditions, experience of IPL. You have Pollard, you have Fabian Ellen, Shervin Rutherford, Jason Holder, Kemo Paul. Again, a lot of experience in white ball cricket, a lot of Indian conditions experience. Yeah. You look at Nicholas Puran, he's really exciting batsman. Dinesh Ramdin, bags of experience over there. Just the three mainline bowlers in Sheldon Cottrell, Carey Pearce, and Hayden Walsh, but it's a lineup that boasts of a lot of all-rounders.
It does, and that's been their strength, isn't it? I mean, last few years, but they also have proper wicket-taking bowlers. I mean, for the longest time, if you remember the West Indies team which won, they predominantly depended on all-rounders who could bat, so they bat deep, and all of them were big hitters, and they were average bowlers. But now, when you look at, I mean, Carey Pearce is again an all-rounder, but someone like a Walsh coming in, you know, Holder is a genuine all-rounder who can hold his ground even as a bowler. And Sheldon Cottrell. So I think there is a good mix there. And also, you mentioned about a lot of experience, and they're pretty young. Leaving aside Ramdin and Lendl Simmons, everyone yeah. else is pretty young. I mean, Nicholas Puran, Hetmayer. They're young players with a lot of experience again. So I think it's a good side. And you add a few more names in there, it becomes one of the best in the world.
Absolutely. I wanted to point that out because you have the likes of Sunil Narayan. He might be available at certain point in time when you yes. know you have the T20 World Cup coming up. You have Andre Russell. I'm sure he will be working on his fitness and looking to get fit for the mega event in Australia. And these are two mega players for West Indies. But also Chris Gayle, because you never know, you know, he goes into retirement, then he decides, oh no, I have unfinished business left. I want to come back and I want to win something and I want to play more. You never know with Chris Gayle. And if he's available, you can't just ignore Chris Gayle, can you?
You can't ignore him, but then you also have to be pragmatic about it. I mean, you can't go with reputation with Chris Gayle. You definitely can't. What he's achieved, obviously, you can't. Can never neglect him.
Yes, but the bottom line is that they have these three players who are nowhere near the lineup right now, but they could come back anytime and make this lineup even stronger.
Listen, again, this whole thing of making Kieran Pollard the captain, it's a new phase in West Indies cricket, and where I believe they will reconcile with all the differences that they have had, and anyone who's good enough in West Indies will play for West Indies. Maybe not every tournament, but as far as your World Cup is concerned, definitely yes. I think all these guys, if they're fit, they will be part of the World Cup.
Well, there you are. You talk about India versus West Indies. In terms of challenge, it will be a different challenge for the men in blue than they faced when they were touring in the Caribbean. It will be a different challenge from South Africa, from Bangladesh. The last two T20 series that they played, they were not at full strength against Bangladesh with a lot of bowlers missing. And we're going to come back to that point. Virat Kohli missing, a lot of first team bowlers missing. South Africa, again, much the same. And these were not comfortable T20 series for India. They won comfortably in the West Indies. Let's not talk about the two series, India in New Zealand, Australia in India, which happened before the World Cup.
Your first take when you saw that side, when you saw that squad? What was your first reaction?
Of course, the big news is Virat Kohli is back as captain. And the other news, you have Ravindra Jadeja is back. You have Kuldeep Yadav who's back. And you have Bhuvneshwar Kumar and Mohammad Shami who are back as well. My first thought, Deep, is... Yeah. India do not know who their best T20 players are at the moment. They do not know. They do not know what is their best playing 11. What is the formula they want to use, whether it's five batsmen, six batsmen, five bowlers, six bowlers. They do not know. They have issues with the balance in the middle order. But most importantly, they are trying to replicate a mix of what they've tried in ODI cricket. And they're trying to see, does that work in T20 cricket as well? Which I believe is going down the wrong path.
Well, I would beg to differ on that. I think, yes, I agree the fact that they've gone back to their old T20 thought process. You know, the last two, three series, they were looking at batting deep, batting till number 9, 10, packing it with a lot of all-rounders, batting all-rounders. I think they've gone back to what they were maybe 6, 8, 9 months ago, where, you know, they would pick a team roughly around the same template as an ODI, which I still believe is not the wrong way to go about it. That's where I differ with you. Because when I looked at the last two, three series and I said, okay, there are enough batsmen there, but are there enough bowlers to win games? Because there is no guarantee that with 9 batsmen or 10 batsman, you will score 200 or you will chase down 200. There is no guarantee. But what you're missing out on are quality bowlers who can win you games with their bowling. And that's where I'm really happy to see. Obviously, Bhuvneshwar is back because of obviously from his injury issues. But it's good to see Kuldeep back. Obviously, Chahal got back in the last series. So I'm happy that they're looking at match-winning bowlers. And that's what I'm really glad, and I that's where I disagree that I don't think India need to go to that mindset of batting, going in with 9 batsmen or something.
To a certain extent, I agree, because you need a little more bowling quality, a little more bowling depth in T20 cricket. But, Deep, here, you look at this combination of this squad and compare to what they were trying to achieve against South Africa, against Bangladesh, even to an extent against West Indies in the Caribbean. And they were looking at bowling all-rounders, you know, bowlers who can necessarily bat. You know, you look at Shivam Dubey, who's been brought in, not really a bowling all-rounder, but you look at Washington Sundar, you look at Rahul Chahar. These are batsmen, Deepak Chahar, maybe the sort of players who can swing their bats later in the lower order. Now, they have gone a bit in a different direction. You look at Ravindra Jadeja, who's your proper all-rounder. But again, when you play Kuldeep Yadav and Yuzvendra Chahal and Mohammad Shami in the same 11, your lower order batting becomes slightly weaker. Where is the balance there, Deep?
Argument is this, Chetan, is in 20 overs, if your top 5 are good enough, if your top 5, just focus on your top 5. Yes, you would need number 6, 7 to finish games. But to set it up, and maybe 60% of the games that you would win or 70% of the games that you would win will be because of your top 5 batsmen and not your lower order batsmen. Yes, number 6, 7 are very, very important. Very important, as important as the top 5. But after that, I see no merit in having someone at number 9 because he can bat. At number 8 is where I personally would draw a line and say number 8. And who for me would be a number 8 batsman? A Bhuvneshwar Kumar number 8 batsman. Anything after number 8, I will just be looking at their bowling skills. Can they win games for me with their ball? So number 9, 10, 11 would be out and out bowlers who can win me games with their bowling. Number 8 is my benchmark. Number 8, Bhuvneshwar, the kind of batsman he is, even Deepak Chahar, the kind of batsman he is at number 8 and no further down. Further down, it's not got nothing to do with their batting skills, only their bowling.
Well, you talk about the bowling skill and the batting skill. It's a fine balance, isn't it? Because India have also struggled in terms of their power hitting because the top order doesn't really take off. And we'll come back to that because there's a particular point that we would like to discuss regarding the power hitting at the top. But right now, Deep, if you have to pick a 5-bowler attack, and I'm just talking about pure bowlers, who would be your pick for this first T20 in Hyderabad?
I'll go with both the wrist spinners. I'll go with Jadeja.
Okay.
And in fact, I will have more bowling options. I'm going to go with Jadeja and Washington Sundar because they are good batsmen as well. I mean, especially Jadeja, the way he's batting. And then you look at two seamers if you have to. Might not play three because why do you play three? Predominantly because you need somebody to bowl in the first six. You need three seamers in the first six, right? But
yes.
When you have someone like Washington Sundar, who's very good in the first six, then you really not... You're all right not going in with three seamers. But what it does, because the other drawback that India has is proper all-rounders, fast bowling all-rounders. Apart from Hardik, there is not too many right now. Shivam Dubey is a batsman. You'll be very lucky. I'm telling you, I mean, the other night he did win the game with his bowling. But that, you've got to be very, very lucky for Shivam to bowl four overs is how I still believe. That's where I think, you know, you go in with two seamers and then you have Jadeja to wrist spinners as well. So you actually have six bowling options available without compromising too much with your batting.
Well, you know, if you consider that Ravindra Jadeja has been classified mostly in his career as a bowling all-rounder, do you think, Deep, right now, a step up has been made in terms of how Jadeja is being portrayed? Even in the test side, you are playing him just as an all-rounder who has finally achieved the balance between his batting and his bowling. And you know why I underline this? Because Team India is looking for a prominent role for Ravindra Jadeja because... Playing Jadeja, if you have Jadeja and if you have Hardik Pandya, you can prop them up as your finishers at number 6 and 7 and then start to pick your bowling lineup. Do you agree with that?
To a certain extent, yes. Listen, someone like Jadeja, right? He's such a huge bonus. And what I've noticed is they are pushing him to bat at number 6. Right through this home season, he batted at number 6. Now, are you going to, I mean, I'm sure Hanuma Vihari, when talking about test matches here for a minute, goes to New Zealand, he's going to bat at number 6. But just imagine this, if Jadeja, the batsman, is good enough to bat at number 6, then you can actually go in with 5 bowlers. But obviously, at number 6, you're looking at his batting skills and you're comparing his batting skills to Hanuma Vihari's. Only if you think he is... minimum 80% of Hanuma Vihari, then it's a huge bonus, right? And that's where I think Jadeja in the last 6-8 months has the ability to make a huge difference as far as you mentioning, you know, the balance of things. If Jadeja comes in and bats at number 6-7, Hardik, as you mentioned, bats at 6-7, one of those positions, then you have the freedom to go in with bowlers as well, other bowlers as in full-time bowlers like Shami and all.
You know, you have Jadeja at 6 or 7, Pandya at 6 or 7, which gives you the freedom of playing 5 full-time batsmen. Maybe include Shivam Dubey in there, maybe not, we don't know yet. But yes, you have that luxury of playing 5 full-time batsmen.
You have Manish Pandya. At this point in time, you'll find in this series, you'll find it difficult to get Manish Pandya.
We'll come to the batting lineup. Okay. But the point I'm trying to make here is, you have Jadeja and Hardik Pandya at 6 and 7. It gives you the luxury of picking 4 full-time bowlers. Who would be my full-time bowlers? I beg to differ here a little bit from Deep. In the sense that I do not see a role for 2 leggies in there. I think, you know, you have Bhuvneshwar Kumar and Deepak Chahar in there as your paces. Mohammad Shami, I'm not sure I want him as a T20 bowler. ODIs and tests, yes, he's built up fine rhythm. He's bowling beautifully. But T20 sometimes tends to break a bowler.
Chetan, I again disagree on the point that with someone like Shami, okay, who are your options? You don't have options.
My options here, first of all, would be Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Chahar, Yuzvendra Chahal, and my fourth bowler, it would be a toss-up between Washington Sundar and Kuldeep Yadav, because I want to play around with that extra element, whether I want an extra leg spinner, whether I want a batting all-rounder, or
I'll give you an extra position as well. I'll give you an extra position. I'll open up one position for you.
Yeah,
I'll make KL Rahul keep wickets. I'll open up a position.
Which is an interesting point, because there are a lot of variables.
I'll interrupt you, and I'll go back to the Shami point. Why Shami is important, and because again, Shami is not a regular in T20. Even in his IPL side, he's not a regular. But that's the other sign that we'll have to look very, very closely, is the fact that we don't have T20 bowlers. We are struggling in that area. That's the reason they've called back Shami. Give him another audition in this format, because you have Bhuvi, you have Bumrah. Now you have Deepak Chahar. Three guys. I don't see a fourth guy. We do need a fourth guy because Bhuvi has been around for a while. He's, for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, he's had this, let's say year and a half, he's had this injury issue. You don't know whether his body will hold up or not. If you've got three, you don't need more than three. But that's a very, very touch and go situation then. One of them gets injured. One of them is out of form. Then you don't have anything to fall back on.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm seeing this Shami inclusion as, because you, again, like you mentioned, that you don't have anybody to fall back on. You look at what Navdeep Saini has done in the limited opportunities that he's had after the World Cup. He's been very impressive. He's made a mark, not as much a mark as perhaps Deepak Chahar, but he's been there or thereabouts. He's been laid low by injury. But when he's played, those five T20s he's played, he's been impressive. He has, hasn't he? So you have that fourth bowling option. But that Shami inclusion, I primarily look at as a backup in terms of if Bhuvi gets injured or if Bumrah gets injured, you never know that you might need an extra pacer who has a little bit of experience, more experience than, say, Chahar, somebody to lead the line. And again, Deep and I can agree on that we need six bowlers.
100%. I mean, I will not go into a limited overs game without a sixth bowling option. I mean, that is a must. I mean, you'll be very, very, I mean, India has been very lucky getting away with five bowlers for a decent amount of time. But, you know, you've got to have a sixth bowling option. I mean, that was one of the reasons you preferred Kedar Jadhav in the ODIs.
Yes.
Right up till he's still there in this ODI series. He's back again in the squad. And here, I mean, the good part is, if you look at it, someone like Washington Sundar, you can develop him, because he's one guy. Mind you, all this while for Tamil Nadu in the Vijay Hazare this season in Syed Mushtaq Ali, he's played more as a batsman rather than a bowler for Tamil Nadu.
He is somebody who can be developed into the Kedar Jadhav mold for the 2023 World Cup. We're talking about the ODI World Cup. It's a long time away.
I'm saying, Chetan, even for this T20 World Cup, he's somebody, like I said, he's somebody who has the ability to bowl in the first six as a spinner. And we've seen he can hit a long ball. He's technically sound. He can hit a long ball. So he does not come with a reputation as of now of hitting. Like, for example, Shivam Dubey has that reputation, has built that reputation already. Mm. Right? Hardik has shown us. We've actually seen him as well. Jadeja, we've seen as well. But someone like, for me, someone like Washington Sundar, whatever little I've seen of his batting, he has that timing with him. He has that technique with him. Develop him as that number 6, 7, even 8 for that matter batsman, because he can give you, he will give you 4 overs more often than not in a game, and work with him. He is that guy who can bat at number 8 and bat properly at number 8. And if required, he can come up the order. If you're chasing down 200 or something, you can send someone like him up the order and say, you know what, just go out there and express yourself. So I think he's one guy who can be molded into something that you're really, really missing at this point in time.
Of course, Sundar, once he, you know, develops into that batting all-rounder, that missing link for the Indian T20 side, that's what my point was. He can probably graduate to the ODI side as well. There's no doubt that's the ability that Washington Sundar has. But here, we need to take just a bit of a breather and say, okay, yes, India needs six bowlers. It's a very interesting mix of all-rounders and full-time bowlers, Deep. But you're looking at five batsmen. So first of all, are we agreeing that India's equation has to be five batsmen and six bowlers, which is something India are not sure of, because when the series against Bangladesh was 1-1, they reverted to that extra batsman who made the difference. Manish Pandey's runs that day made the difference.
Okay, I'll tell you this. According to me, I don't believe in that compartmentalization, five okay. and six, because you're looking at four bowlers, four proper bowlers. I don't mind if they can't bat that well. One of them obviously will bat. I mean, Deepak Chahar can bat or Bhuvi can bat. So, you know, you won't have four bowlers. None of them can bat. So four bowlers, and I'm looking at two all-rounders, include the keeper, three all-rounders. And at this point in time, you have that luxury. Maybe not with seam bowling all-rounder, but with spinners, you have that luxury in Jadeja, in Washington, Sundar. Let's say Krunal, who's not part of this squad. And then obviously Hardik comes back and he should be back in another month's time, maybe at the most couple of months. So then you have those three all-rounders. You have that option. So technically speaking, what I'm saying is you have three all-rounders, which would include the wicketkeeper. You have four bowlers, that's seven. And then you have four batsmen, out and out batsmen.
And talking about the batsmen, when you talk about the four batsmen, and Deep is again and again making this point about that wicketkeeper all-rounder slot. So let's just dive into this hot topic, Deep. Rishabh Pant.
Yeah, so what's your take? I've already put it on the table. What's your take?
You've already put it on the table that you want KL Rahul to keep wickets. Ordinarily, I would say, yes, time for Rishabh Pant is up. But because there's been so much has happened in the build up to the series, there's been a lot said about MS Dhoni in the build up to the series. I think that we need to take with a pinch of salt here. You know, Saurav Ganguly comes out and says that, you know, we know the plans, we can't make it public. MS Dhoni comes out and says, ask me in January. All of it is pointing towards a comeback to active cricket in the build up to the IPL, play in the IPL. If he performs well in the IPL, he perhaps will be in the reckoning for the T20 World Cup, which again becomes interesting because the old selection committee has been disbanded. In January, we are going to have a new selection committee. What do they think? Again, these are points that we've discussed before. So my point of view here is that maybe Rishabh Pant was released from the test squad. He went back and played for Delhi in Syed Mushtaq Ali. I would be willing to give Rishabh Pant this entire series is because Shikhar Dhawan is not available. If Shikhar Dhawan had been available, then there would have been a problem of fitting in KL Rahul. But now Shikhar Dhawan is not available. We know KL Rahul will open the innings with Rohit Sharma. And then you have that extra slot to play with, maybe give an opportunity to Rishabh Pant. Had Shikhar Dhawan been available, I would have certainly said KL Rahul needs to keep wickets.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. Give him this series, this whole series. Sooner or later, he will have to perform. And why I'm saying KL is because it just opens up everything. Shikhar hasn't had a great last 1 year, right? Across formats.
Yes.
So obviously you are looking at someone to open as well. KL straight away fits in there. Now, as soon as you give the gloves to him, that opens up the middle order. Let's leave MS Dhoni conversation aside right now. Let's not talk about that, because if he's available, and if he's available, he's there for selection and everything else. I mean, that's a different topic. That's a lot more complicated, I believe. So keep that aside. But as soon as KL Rahul is given the gloves, obviously he's playing. Secondly, you're opening up the middle order. Yeah. And your question, you touched upon it about going hard at the top. That takes care of itself as well. But I completely agree with you. This series, give the youngster another go and then say, you know what? Go back to first-class cricket and play your domestic cricket. Hone your skills. Get ready. You've learned a lot in the last year or so. And then come back. There is no harm. I mean, he's 21, 22. I mean, he's got good 15, 16 years left of him in cricket.
And there are still 10 months before the next World Cup. There's still 10 months before.
True. Absolutely.
So he could actually go back. You know, just settle down, just calm himself down, just settle down, play for Delhi, play Ranji Trophy, play the IPL. And who knows, he could be back in contention for the Sri Lanka tour in the summer, for the Asia Cup, because the team won't be selected until September, right? So there is still a lot of time for Rishabh Pant to go back, even if he fails now, and rediscover himself and say, okay, listen, I am the guy that you need in that middle order.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, then my question is, what are your options at number five? Leave aside the fact that Rishabh is a wicketkeeper. Look at the batting abilities. You've got Manish Pandey. The options are very simple there. You have Manish Pandey. You have Shreyas Iyer. Looking at four and five, Shreyas Iyer, Manish Pandey, Rishabh Pant. Add a few more names there. Let's see, even Jadeja
and Pandya.
Pandya there. Now, batting ability-wise, if Rishabh, you think, is a better batsman, will contribute more, then by all means keep him. But don't keep him as a wicketkeeper batsman, because you know there is KL Rahul who can keep wickets. So judge him just based on his batting skills at number 4, 5, 6.
Let's come to this topic of KL Rahul. I think from the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen that KL Rahul has been trying to get this balance in his batting where he does well across all formats. And he's made certain changes to his batting. He's gone a little more aggressive in the sense that he's playing a few more loose shots, even in test cricket, than he would like to. And when he gets out, those shots look really horrible. So that balance is yet to come in. What I'm trying to make the point here is that at least in ODI and T20 cricket, he's looking like a really, really good batsman, really settled. He had a brilliant World Cup once Shikhar Dhawan was injured, and he's looked a really good T20 batsman, for whether it's for Kings 11 Punjab or the limited opportunities he's got for India. Deep, the question right now here is, if Shikhar Dhawan was available, should Shikhar Dhawan be in the T20 squad? Okay, if he's in the T20 squad and if Lokesh Rahul, both of them are in the T20 squad, who is the opener with Rohit Sharma? For me, it has to be KL Rahul, because like you mentioned, Dhawan hasn't had a really good one and a half year in the shortest format. And the biggest problem here is Shikhar Dhawan, Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, all three of them like to take a lot of time getting set, getting started. You lose a little bit of momentum up at top. KL Rahul just goes bang, bang, bang. He gives you that momentum at the top.
I would agree with you. In fact, I think before the last series, in our own program, I mentioned the fact that I go with Shikhar. But now I think not just that, because what has happened in the last month or so, it's not just that Shikhar hasn't got runs while he was playing for India. He hasn't got runs at Syed Mushtaq Ali. He hasn't got runs in Vijay Hazare. So there is something happening there. You can understand somebody's not scoring runs at international level. He goes down to domestic, gets those runs, gets his confidence back, and boom, back he's in the squad, international. But here, he has not scored runs even at domestic level. So I don't think he's got that rhythm back or that form back to get back into international cricket. And that's where I think it would make more sense to make KL Rahul open instead of Shikhar, even if he was fit.
And we looked at KL Rahul during the Syed Mushtaq Ali Trophy. He's had a dream run ever since he's been dropped from that test squad. He's had a dream run. He scored a lot of runs. Like Deep mentioned in the last episode, we're talking about the T20 series, that Bangladesh T20 series episode, how KL Rahul had a lot of runs under his belt. And he's gone on and scored even more runs and taken Karnataka to the final. He had a brilliant outing in the semi-final. And then again in the final, he gave them a really great start. And Karnataka, obviously, retaining the Syed Mushtaq Ali title. KL Rahul, one of the stalwarts of their two wins. Of course, Manish Pandey, he's been the captain of those two title triumphs. And he is a pivotal T20 player as well. So, finally, Deep, coming to the end of this hot take. It's the final T20 series for 2019. It's been a very, very good preparatory year. We've seen a lot of different players, batsmen, all-rounders, bowlers. Tell me your 11 for T20.
Oh, my God. Simple. I've been thinking about it.
Then I'll give you my playing 11.
I'm thinking about it since, last couple of days now. Okay, I'll go with KL Rahul.
You have to mention wicketkeeper or batsman.
As a batsman, okay.
Okay, all right.
Fair enough. Okay. As a batsman, KL Rahul. This series only. Two seamers in Deepak Chahar and Bhuvneshwar to start off with.
Yeah.
Then I have my all rounders in
Jadeja and Sundar.
Jadeja and Washington Sundar. They are my four bowling options.
Yeah.
Then I'm gonna go with my two leg spinners.
Yeah, six.
Both the spinners. So there's six now. And I need now five batsmen, include a Rishabh Pant there, seven.
Seven.
I
now
got
you need
four.
To pick four batsmen.
So yeah, so I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. Four batsmen. So that's Virat, Rohit, Gale, and Shreyas Iyer.
I would not play the two leg spinners. I would pick only one of Chahal or Kuldeep Yadav. I don't think India is at a stage in T20 cricket where they need those eight overs from leg spin. Like you mentioned, Washington Sundar is there. Ravindra Jadeja, for me, is the pivotal player in this series or in this Indian T20 lineup. So my playing 11 was obviously be KL Rahul. Opening the batting this time alone, this series, I agree with you, Deep, that Rishabh Pant, yes, which was my original point. So KL Rahul, Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, those top three batsmen. So I would go in with only five batsmen, pick two all-rounders, that's seven, and then four bowlers. It, for me, it's a toss-up between Shreyas Iyer and Manish Pandey. And at the moment, I would be inclined to go in for Manish Pandey because we have Rishabh Pant in there. So Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, KL Rahul, Manish Pandey, my four batsmen. Rishabh Pant, the wicketkeeper batsman. In terms of all-rounders, I'll be picking Ravindra Jadeja and Washington Sundar. And then the four bowlers that I need to pick, Yuzvendra Chahal, Deepak Chahar, Bhuvneshwar Kumar and Mohammad Shami. I want to see how Mohammad Shami goes. The only toss-up here for me possibly could be Mohammad Shami doesn't play and we play an extra batsman, in which case Shreyas Iyer comes in. I would not look to play two wrist spinners at this point in time. Right, that was our hot take on this India-West Indies T20 series. We'll be back with the next episode after this T20 series and take a look back how it's gone. Take a look ahead at how the ODI series could possibly shape up for both India and West Indies. In the meantime, do leave your feedback and comments, share it on social media, reach out to us on social media as well. We are now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn. So you can subscribe to this podcast hotspot there as well. Until next time then, it's goodbye.
Dhoni finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.